thing. Hold on.
Blog Talk Radio.
1-0. Here we go. Oh my gosh, I'm backwards.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
All right. We are live on everything we need to be live on. So,
as
welcome
you
to the show.
Here too, we got Mike back with us this week. Thank you. Mike was under the weather last week, and he's well and back with us. So, good. Glad that you recovered. A couple quick announcements. Actually, three things I want to talk about before. Our guest hasn't called in, but he's, I expect him to pop up any minute. Number one, Wife Appreciation Day is this coming Sunday. Sunday, September 17th is Wife Appreciation Day. I have told this to people and I've gotten responses like, isn't that what Valentine's Day is for? Well, no, not really. And then I've gotten responses like, where's Husband Appreciation Day? No, this is Wife Appreciation Day. And, you know, I mean, all sorts of comments. But the point being is, if she knows about it and you don't do anything, you're mud. Ooh. If she doesn't know about it and then you do something, you're saying, oh, that was sweet. I didn't know it was coming. And so, you know, Wife Appreciation Day, Sunday, the 17th, I got an email saying, you know, this is what's going on. I don't know if it's. It's a legitimate email, but it was just like, okay, well, there's no reason to doubt it. And if the email's popping in my box, it could be popping in anybody's. Because say, Wife Appreciation Day, if she knows about it, then, you know, cover your base. Don't ignore it. And next announcement I want to make, Flightline Radio. FlightRunningRadio.com. It's Mike's radio station. He is live on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9. It streams 24/7 all the rest of the time. You can always tune it in and listen to it in the background while you're playing with the computer and reading emails and whatever you're doing. Like I was doing today, as a matter of fact, I was writing a bunch of emails to guests coming up. And so that's one way to listen to him, or you can just tune in and listen to it. And if you miss an episode of All About Wine on Thursday, he replays it at noon on Saturdays. So,
yeah,
check.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Check that out. And then, let's see. There's something else. As I have been announcing, you know, last few weeks, if you are so inclined to donate to the hurricane victims here in Florida, Red Cross, best way to do it. Don't food with any of the others. Red Cross will get it right to the people who need to have it and when they need it. So Red Cross. And same thing with the flood victims and the earthquake victims overseas. Red Cross is really the best way to do it. Instead of trying to, you know, you'll get a lot of people sending you crazy emails from Morocco saying, I'm collecting money to help the victims, and their victim is in their pocket. So, you know, Red Cross is really the safest way to do all this stuff. And
probably the victim is probably the one donating to them in the long run, because their money's not going anywhere but in their pockets, like you said. So, they try to make it sound like it, though. So be careful when you donate, and donate to a reputable, you know, source that's going to do good and not keep the money for themselves. So,
and that's why I say red cross. Some people don't like red cross. They say the admin fees are high and all that, but still it's pretty safe to get the money to them because they do good, I think. So
they're always there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. They're always there. One of the first ones on the scene whenever something like that happens. So, and what's a Crescent Cross, I think over there in Morocco and Libya and stuff like that. The Red Crescent, that's what it is. Red Crescent. Over there in those countries because of the Muslim influence and all that over there. So they call it the Red Crescent. But any of those, donate to and you can get it done. And I had one other announcement I was going to throw out there, and I forgot what it was now. Hopefully I'll think of it before the show's over. Enough of that. We have a guest. I believe it's our guest. I don't know. I haven't talked to him yet. Gino DiCaro, our Caro, is the communications director for the Wine Institute in California. And he's going to come up and talk to us about events that are happening in California over the next weeks and months. So welcome to the show, Gino.
Hello, Ron. Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate this. And first of all, I would like to thank you for saving my marriage with the Wife Appreciation Day announcement. That is quite helpful for me. So thank you.
It's important.
It's great to be here.
It's important. I always tell guys, everybody I tell it to, they go, I said, but if she knows about it and you don't do anything, just a little token is all it takes.
Yeah. And part of me thinks my wife has known about it for the last 10 years and didn't tell me about it and is keeping score, so I'm in trouble.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know how long this Wife Appreciation Day thing has been going on. I have no idea. I received an email, a couple of weeks ago, and let's see. Well, I can't even find it now. But I received an email a couple of weeks ago that said, Wife Appreciation Day coming up on the 17th. Oh, here it is. Just a little small thing. It's from a place in Miami, a restaurant. It says, take your wives to the restaurant, make reservations. But it's Wife Appreciation Day. And I tried to find something to see how long it's been going on, and I couldn't find anything. So I think maybe this restaurant just sort of like made this up. But if they didn't, again, we don't know. So,
Everyone's working against us, Ron.
And I know. California Wine Institute has been doing lots of stuff. In fact, they were very active when I lived out in California many, many years ago. I used to visit you guys and get information and all that periodically. They're great. You are a director there, right?
Yes, I am the newest director of communications here. I've been here for about just a little over a year. Handling the domestic media part of it. So I'm still finding my way through the industry itself. I came from the manufacturing community I worked over there for about 26 years. So I'm here now, and I've been around wine certainly all my life, and I love it, and I love the industry, and I'm so excited to talk about it all the time, even though my my knowledge admittedly sometimes can be a little low, and we got many experts at Wine Institute to help us out with that, but happy to be here.
No, good. We are going to talk about, there are events, and this is originally the email I got from you guys saying that you got events coming up, and this is our first opening in the month for September because of other guests. But still, though, you don't just have events in September. You have them throughout the fall and into the winter. What's going on? What's coming up? What's happening?
Well, let's face it, Ron. Every day is wine month in my household, and probably yours as well, and a lot of your listeners.
Yeah. So I never thought of it that way, but you're right.
We don't need a month to celebrate this great industry. But September is the 19th annual California Wine Month. And, it's amazing that something that tastes this good, that is this sustainable, and something that can produce, this much for our economy and communities is – it's a pretty incredible industry, and we're happy to celebrate it. This wine month seems to grow every year. Our wineries up and down the state put on just tremendous events. Of course, the harvest most of the time starts in September, and it just provides a perfect backdrop for wineries and regions to ask locals and tourists to come experience their wines, see the harvest, get a little bit more knowledgeable about how this great product comes together. And, 49 of our 58 counties actually produce wine grapes in California. So there's something for everywhere at every region. We just hope visitors from out of state will come experience it, and certainly our locals will as well.
The question I had was the harvest going on now. Is there a lot of them that do a harvest festival where you get to stomp grapes?
Yeah, there's a lot of harvest boot camps that are really, really impressive. Grape stomps, winery yoga, horseback riding through the vineyards, et cetera. In fact, I will say folks can go to discovercaliforniawines.com to see all of the events that are available to them. I will also say that most wineries, if you call them and ask them about their harvest and when it is, they'll be more than happy to accommodate you with answers and maybe some tours during the harvest. I myself tomorrow am going over to Alexander Valley Vineyards to experience the start of their harvest. And so there's just opportunities everywhere. And these events that are on our website are just a great place to start. But there's something for everyone everywhere during this month when you're coming to one of the wine regions of California.
There always is in harvest season. There's always things going on. How many?
Yes.
Do you know a definite number? How many wineries? Over 6,200 wineries in California. How many for sure? I mean, I hear more than over and all that just because it's a round number. But do you know the actual number of wineries that are in California now?
There are I think the official number as of about 2 months ago was 6,200 and I think 20. If you look at the TTB website, but so there's a lot, and most of those folks are putting on events this month. And you know, like I said when I started, this stuff tastes good, it's incredibly sustainable, and it does great things for the economy. We employ we support about 422,000 Californians for work. Nationally, we support about 1.1 million, and we bring in about $170 billion in economic activity. So the industry is growing over the past few years. I think over the past 6 years, we've grown by about 27% in terms of economic impact. It's amazing. An industry that's so big and so impressive is mostly driven by multi-generational family-owned businesses. Sure, there are ones that are getting merged into larger corporations, but so many of these are family-owned. And I got to say, I told you I was new to the industry. That's been one of the most impressive things coming over here. Getting into some of these wineries, talking to these families who live and breathe their wine and their art and their science and their communities, it's just really impressive. And further, this is an industry that's really collaborative. They all want to help each other. Mm-hmm. There's no NDAs between each other when they're talking about innovation and sustainability and better ways to make wine. It's just I'm really proud to be a part of it.
And that's one thing that I've always said. It's one of the few industries and few businesses that you can go into and help each other out in any way you can. I mean, if someone has a problem, you can contact people around you and all that, and they will do whatever they can to help you get through that problem. It's not cutthroat. It's not and that's everywhere in the wine industry. Down here in Florida, it's you know, anywhere. They are very, very friendly and helpful to everybody else. It's a great thing about the wine industry, I think. It's, like I said, there's no real secret. You walk up to someone in the wine industry, anywhere and say, can you tell me about it? That's why this show does so well, because can you tell me about it? And they tell you about it. You know, there's, you know.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And these, yeah, these 6,200 wineries, they produce over 81% of the country's wine. We export about, I think, 95% internationally. And 80% of the wine that's made in California is actually made in a certified sustainable winery. So these guys are impressive, and there's lots to show off. I know we have some time. Do you mind me going through a few of the events that are the official events that are going on this month? Is that
by
helpful?
All means. Yeah, by all means.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Ron. Like I said, everywhere from Southern California all the way up to the North Coast, there are events. If you start in the North Coast, there's a Sonoma County Wine Auction, September 14th and 16th. There's the 22nd annual Lake County Wine Auction.
Let me back up a little bit on this. Okay, the Sonoma County Wine Auction, that thing is enormous. Isn't that the big one?
It is. Napa's also, of course, very large as well. But I haven't been to this one, but I hear just tremendous things about it. And it's quite an experience, and it's one that it certainly it benefits those in need. I can't remember the charity this year, but this year it's taking place at La Crema, which is the wine that most of your listeners are probably familiar with, but it's at La Crema Estate at Sara Lee's Vineyard, which they might know. There's vintners' dinners, there's wine parties, there's live music. It's just massive. And
unfortunately, it's a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, it's starting today to the 16th, so I'm a little late to talk about it, but something we're certainly excited about. There's an annual Lake County Wine Auction as well, at the Mercantile by Shannon family of wines. It's a great way to explore Lake County wine country. It's just north of Sonoma County. One stop with 15 wineries pouring, local chefs offering food and paired beautifully with wine, family style dinner, just all sorts of great things. And a lot of these events are actually family friendly too for some of those, vacationers that are coming through. But there's a fall wine trail up in northern Sonoma County. 30 wineries are part of this, sipping their wines. Certainly produce a dinner later in the evening. It's in the charming wine country of Healdsburg, great restaurants, shops, of course. So there's some in the North Coast. You come inland and in the valley. This is one of my favorites, the Lodi Grape Festival, which has been going on for a while. It's September 14th to 17th. And this is extremely friendly. I think some days kids 16 and under get in free, but they have all sorts of tribute bands, like Prince Tribute Band, When Doves Cry. A dozen regional wineries are pouring. And, of course, you and your listeners probably know that Zinfandel is one of the great grapes in Lodi. One of our wineries, Lang Twins, produces a Centennial Zin, which is just beautiful. And I'm not sure if that'll be tasted there or not, but just you can't miss with the Zins in Lodi. So that's a great event. There's a carnival going on, paired with all sorts of food.
They've been doing that for years and years and years, too, the Lodi Grape Festival. It's an old one.
You're right. I saw the gentleman who's running it on the news last night, and it's over 25 years, I think, they've been doing it.
Yeah.
And it's a real winner. And, of course, my own
one more thing.
From Sacramento.
The Lodi Film Festival, Grape Festival, I am enjoying a Seven Deadly Sins wine right now from the Lodi region. So that's just rather ironic.
Outstanding.
Yes.
One of my favorites.
And mine, too.
I'm enjoying the Bogdachi. Go on. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying Seven Deadly Zins has been around for some time, and it's really a nice Zinfandel for those of you out there who have never had it. By all means, get it. And it's not real expensive either.
No, it's not. It's pretty easy to find, and it's, if I recall correctly, it's pretty textured Zin. Really beautiful. So, well done. I might have to join you. You're out in Florida, right, Ron?
Yes.
I might have to come out and join you for a glass.
Anytime. I'll probably have this bottle done when you get here, though.
Leave some for me. Let's see. I'm here in Sacramento. There's a Farm to Fork Festival right here at the Tower Bridge. In the Central Coast, there's actually Grenache Day with Roan Rangers. It's held in a historic barn at the Thatcher Winery and Vineyard in Paso Robles. Supposed to be just a great event. There's a Tiburon Wine Festival. If you come down to Southern California, there's a Temecula Crush event. Of course, like we said, this is a great time to see crush events around the harvest, and Temecula does a great job of this. I think there's about 30-plus wineries showing off their wines at this event on September 30th. There's a great taste of Europe Wine and Food Festival down there as well. Like I said, there's something for everyone. A lot of folks think that it's just Napa and Sonoma here in California for wine. It's not. It's everywhere. Like I said, 49 counties and 149 different AVAs just dot the whole state with beautiful wines, and this is the perfect month to come celebrate.
You mentioned something about all little small wineries around the state. Paso Robles and Temecula is a good example of a whole bunch of little small wineries that make great wine and do an excellent job. And so if people are looking for it, and these festivals highlight a lot of those small wineries. So I just throw that out there.
I could not have said that better myself. Well said, Ron. It's just a great way to experience these folks, and it's a great opportunity for them to get their wines in front of people who might not otherwise see them.
Exactly.
And I will say, if people can't come to the events, it's really easy to pick up our. We partnered with Visit California and California Grown. That's basically the tourism and agricultural arms of California. To create a iconic California recipes ebook that pairs perfectly with California wines. There's mm-hmm. things like Crab Louie in there. There's things like the animal style French fries from In-N-Out that apparently pairs quite well with it. Sauvignon Blanc. The Crab Louie pairs with a Chardonnay or sparkling, and it's a way for people to get an iconic recipe from California and buy a wine, you know, wherever they are. If they have to go to Total Wine to get it, or online, or whatever, it's another way that they can celebrate with us.
That sounds what that is. Ebook. Now, do you have an address for that ebook? What is
yes,
it? Just
I'm sorry,
California
Ron,
California you, food or what is?
I'm sorry, I should have said that. It's also at discovercaliforniawines.com. Once again, that's discovercaliforniawines.com.
That's the easy way to get all this information then, instead of...
You got it.
Okay,
they can go right there. They'll see an icon for California Wine Month. That's where they can see the events, and they can see a link to download the ebook itself too.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. I noticed... AVAs. How many AVAs are in California now?
There are now 149 AVAs. We just got our newest one approved. I think it's the Winters AVA.
Wow. But a lot of those overlap,
yeah.
Though. So, you know,
No doubt. No yeah. doubt. And there's 269 AVAs nationally. So we cover about half of them. and that leads me to... That leads me to my first trivia question.
Uh-huh.
Which AVA is split half and half between Napa and Sonoma? I'll give you your choices. Carneros, Stag's Leap, Russian River Valley, or Mount Veeder?
I'm going to have to go Mount Veeder.
That's what I did too when I was going through this. It's not. It's Carneros.
Carneros.
Something new. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah. Oh, they're both right there.
Fun
I place. Mean, you know.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Oh, I was trying to picture the boundaries of it, and I think Mount Veeder might be a little bit smaller than Canaris, so that might be the reason. So, huh, no, well.
I, that's a good point. I think you're right. But anyway, yeah, 149 and probably and still growing. It seems to be they're applying for new AVAs every 2 months. But
I try to, whenever I see an AVA applied for, I tell people on the show here, I say, you know, this AVA is up. If you have any objections to it, you know, you can post it on the TTB website and tell them, you know. But, yeah, I said otherwise we're going to see it approved in a couple of months here. And sure enough, there's another one pop up. It just is continuous. And they're starting to pop up all around the country, too. I mean, California's got a lot, but there's a lot of them everywhere. It's, and the sad
Absolutely.
Thing is they don't promote AVAs enough. You know, we in the business know AVAs. But you go
out
and walk into a tasting room and say, what's an AVA? And they look at you with a blank face. They don't know.
That's right. That's a good point. And, you know, I don't know how old you are, Ron, but I'm 51. And when I was starting to discover wine when I was about 22, 23, or maybe earlier, but you knew where your wines were coming from. You definitely knew the AVA. I mean, it was promoted because I assume because there were fewer back then. But, yeah, they're everywhere, and I'd like to see them promoted more as well.
I've done shows on just AVAs on here and try to get people out there educated on these AVAs and what they are, because you always hear about the areas in France and Italy and Spain and all this stuff, and people know about these, but when you start talking about an AVA in the United States, people are lost. I mean, when I had the winery, I used to get people, you know, a counter full of people, and I go, okay, I got a question for you. How many of you know what an AVA is? And nobody did. And it was just, it was embarrassing for the United States for people who are drinking wine not to know what an AVA is. And whenever
That's
we talk to wine, I always try to tell, you know, ask wineries if they're in an AVA and all that. But, you know, I don't know. I think it should be promoted a lot more than what we do as far as AVAs go.
Agreed.
Let's see. I was going to ask you something. You threw out a stat about sustainable wines. California having so many sustainable wines, and it doesn't just stop there. Organic and biodynamic and, you know, just all these, you know, certified. I've got a lot of different things now that they're doing, which is even steps beyond just organic. But why, and maybe you don't know this answer, why doesn't California, or actually I think everywhere, why don't they promote this more on their labels?
Well, that's a good question, and that is something we have been working for a long time to improve and fix. We certainly have a certification logo, and our the wineries that I mentioned earlier, the 80% of wine that's made in a certified sustainable winery, they get certified under the code of sustainable wine growing. So there's a little blue and white round logo on most of the bottles. Sometimes they'll get certified and won't get the logo on quick enough, or they'll wait a few years, but that is definitely growing. And I will say, I listened just the other day to a webinar from Wine Market Council, which you might have listened to. They were putting out some data about what's going on in the wine industry and what consumers want and where they're going. Did you listen? Okay, so you probably heard one of the gentlemen. I think it was Michael, but I can't remember. He had said, you know, consumers, especially the younger ones, definitely want more transparency and want labeling on what's going on with their wine, in terms of sustainability. And so that logo that we've been working to get out there in the public, it's becoming pretty ubiquitous. It's becoming pretty universal. It's still got a ways to go, certainly, but you can see it. And it's a blue and white round logo. If you go to California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance.com, that is where all this information is. And in fact, I think even in the last year, the increase in vineyards that were certified sustainable was about 7.5%. And
wow.
The increase in wineries that were certified sustainable was 5.5%. There's about 60 different vineyard categories that can set certifications
yeah.
to get to the overall sustainable certification. There's about 49 for the wineries. And it's just really impressive what's going on in that space. And I know, Ron, you've had Allison Jordan on, who has run this program for the last 2 decades at least. And she's just done a magnificent job up and down the state educating these wineries on what they can and should do and creating a ton of credibility around the program with a third-party audit and just a program that's really, really impressive. And if anyone goes to Total Wine, you start spinning your bottle around, you'll
yes.
start seeing that little round logo a lot.
Yeah.
So appreciate
the
question.
It happens a lot. And I think I'm surprised TTB hasn't came out and said, okay, this is the logo to use, because it's something that's national. I mean, California has got so many wineries and they're doing so much as far as being sustainable and all the other categories. And I can see them, you know, taking the lead on this, but the whole country seems to be a step behind where they should be on getting all of this transparent. And that's a good word. We need to know. I went out trying to find a biodynamic wine at Total Wines, and I had to call somebody over, and I said, where's your biodynamic? And he called somebody else over who knew more about it and said, oh, we've got these here. Nothing on the bottle and all that. I said, well, then how do we know they're biodynamic? And he walked over to the computer and pulled up the website. And, you know, and it was, one from California, but it was just very awkward to try to find a wine that's in these different categories. And so,
yeah.
Yeah,
and on that point, I think it's the way it's going, and everything is, you know, as we all know in life, everything comes slower than we think or would hope. But
yeah.
You know, with it growing the way it is, I think it's only a matter of time before some of these wine retailers start delineating, whether it's online with something that's really obvious, or whether it's in the store where they literally have sustainable or biodynamic wine sections. I think the market's going to start demanding it. And this logo is you know, as much hard work has been put into it over the last 2 decades, you know, it's only the start, because it's clearly what people want to know.
Yes.
They want to know it and they want to tout it. You know, it's not,
yeah.
I heard recently, it's not one thing for some of these folks to either be in a place or eat or drink a thing. They need to tell their family and friends about it,
mm-hmm.
post about it and show a logo or whatever it might be. So, it's really critical.
Is the Discover California Wines got a sample of that logo on it?
Yes,
if not,
yes,
why
it does,
not?
Absolutely.
Does it? Okay, good.
Absolutely. It's all there for you.
Yeah, I mean,
and
you know,
Shelby,
it's just,
Shelby,
you know,
sorry,
it's just if it's not there, then people don't know what to look for. So you really do need an example.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So good. Let's see. I was going to mention something else here.
We can talk a little bit about the preliminary results of this upcoming harvest, if you want.
Oh yeah, well that's a good thing. You were covering the events for September here, and I was looking at something that you've got events coming up to the end of the year that might be interesting to some of our listeners, since you know September is beginning of school and people are tied up in that, but throughout the year and toward the end of the year. I was going to have you mention something about that.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that list of events isn't only for September. Of course, I've been focused on what's going on in September because it's California Wine Month, but that will go, that list is perpetual. So it's always a good place for people to come see key wine events that are going on in California. Like I said, California Wine Month is every day at Wine Institute in my household. So discovercaliforniawines.com is the place to find your next event.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, I read something, I want to say, 2 years ago, before your time there, but California was shipping more wine to China than to any other country. Is that still going on?
No. In fact, that goes against what I've heard. So we export the most to Canada, which Canada's got about 35% of the market share.
Wow.
United Kingdom would be the next biggest at about 14%. And, you know, the EU would be second, but that's a bunch of countries.
Right.
And then Japan is at about 5.5%, 6%, I think. China is at about 2.5%.
That's all?
Correct.
Wow. Well, I'm sure I read something about the amount of wine being shipped to China. This was, and I say 2 years ago, that has to be wrong. It has to be much longer ago than that. It has to be 7-8 years ago that I read something about that. Because California was excited because they had the amount that they were shipping overseas I can't remember the exact numbers now because, you know, when I read it, I went, wow, and then went on to something else. I know Germany gets quite a bit of wine. What is their percentage?
I am not sure. Germany, I don't see. Well, they're certainly not in the top 10, I will say.
Really?
The top 10, we basically go Canada, UK, Japan, again, EU is in there in the second spot, but that's 23, 27.
That might
27.
Be Germany part of that, too.
Yeah, so Germany's flowing into there, and I'm not sure what their – I can get their specific number. I just don't have it in front of me. So Canada, EU, United Kingdom, Japan, South Korea, Hong Kong, China, Mexico, and then Dominican Republic after that.
Dominican
and that's
Republic.
That's based on value, not volume, but the volume numbers don't change that much.
Yeah, they come pretty close to that. Well, the reason I asked about Germany, I was out there a few years ago, and I was visiting a big distributor in Central Valley, Southern Central Valley. And while I was there, they were loading up a truck with a big bladder in it. It looked like an enormous waterbed. It filled the whole back end of this big flatbed truck. And they were filling it up full of wine. I'm going, where's? And they said, that's going to Germany. And I thought, oh my gosh. And they said that they ship about one of those every week to Germany. And it just impressed me. So that's why
I was
wondering.
Wow, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, you know, we saw a lot of growth in exports in 2021. We saw a little more growth in 2022. I think we had about a 0.4% increase in value in 2022 and about a 10% in 2021. And I will say, if you ever want to get into this subject with someone who really knows and has been working on it a long time, Honor Comfort runs our export program. She has a goal of reaching 2.5 billion increase in exports by 2030. And she is doing tremendous things with her and her team internationally. We have representatives in about I think we have about 15 different representatives internationally in a bunch of markets trying to ensure California's taking advantage of every opportunity to export these wines. And if you ever want to do a show around that, it is interesting and there is a lot of things. There are a lot of things going on in that space, and Honor could really take care of you on one of your shows.
I will send an email to your office there, and we'll see what we can get arranged for that. That sounds interesting. Yeah. You were, before I started to talk about China and all that stuff, you were going to cover a topic?
Yes. Harvest, I suppose, is worthy of your podcast, no doubt.
Yeah, that's always interesting.
We went out and looked at or started talking to some of the growers and vintners early to understand what was going on with this harvest. And you probably have heard and seen that it's definitely going to be a little later this year. And like I said, the Alexander Valley Vineyard is starting tomorrow, and that's not even with their cab grapes. But it's starting later. The cool and moist season certainly made for long maturation of grapes. They think the quality is going to be really, really good. Again, it's early. We will come out with our official harvest report around November when we know more. But so far, the looks like the yield will be a little lower, but quality is definitely up. And just couldn't be more excited for this vintage, frankly. The extended bloom period is really going to pay off for us.
How is the credit for the harvest attributed to the rains that you got from the hurricane?
Yes, that is exactly what it is. The moisture definitely made for a long maturation process for these grapes. There's been some comments about mildew, but it looks like the vineyards know how to mitigate and deal with it, and that was really the only challenge from the long wet season. They talked a little bit about some of the salts being pushed down in the soil because the drought had pushed the salts up for so long.
Right.
But it doesn't seem to be a problem, and frankly, the moisture was needed after so many drought seasons that it really was welcome. Just push the harvest out, and it looks like quality is going to be pretty good. I heard Pinot grapes maybe be picked a little, in some cases, later than cab grapes, which is surprising.
Wow.
And it all depends, of course, on the region and the vineyard you're dealing with. Obviously, it's all nuanced, but it's hard to make one blanket statement about anything. But the vintage is in good shape. Just
wow.
Like
that, you know, that does sort of surprise me because the California has been smacked with drought and then that heavy rain going through and all that. And drought tends to pack down the soils and everything. And then that heavy rain, I'm surprised that there wasn't more runoff as opposed to sinking into the ground like it's supposed to. And so it's good to hear that the harvest is going to be, although it is later, you're saying that, you know, some areas are just now starting to harvest. That's usually something that happens a good month ago.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the average is about 2 to 3 weeks late for the harvest for most regions and vineyards.
Yeah. That's just amazing that they're that late. That's really surprising.
And admittedly, it's still early, so this we just wanted to do kind of a preview, we talked to about 10 different wineries. The harvest report in November will be much more thorough and probably have a little bit better understanding, but right now it looks good, so I want to report that definitely.
Yeah, well, I've got a guess. I was sending emails out to different people for a guess. I have a guess that I was going to get on the show from Mendocino, and publicist wrote back and said that they were in the middle of harvest now. And I'm thinking, Mendocino just harvested. That should have been a couple, 3 weeks ago. But they said he's just now harvesting, and he'll be on the show probably in a month or so. And that surprised me, that the time frame of that one.
It's funny. I got an invite. I play golf a lot. I got an invite just last week to play golf with the Roar Winery family owner. And I said, aren't you harvesting? How can you play golf? He said, nope, that's why I'm playing golf now, because that starts next week.
Yeah, there you go.
Amen, let's go play golf.
Yeah. Sounds good. the question that popped to my mind, and I haven't heard anything, but how is how is the recovery from the COVID era, from the, you know, wearing masks, shutting down the tasting rooms? Is everybody open again? Is everybody back to a semblance of normal? Or is there still restrictions that the wineries themselves are putting on?
I will say, as far as we know, the COVID protocols, you know, are still in play. But
are they?
Wineries are open. I mean, I'm hesitating because I haven't asked a lot of these questions, but I think the reservation system that had to come from COVID because these rooms couldn't accommodate as many people for obvious reasons, that right. seems to have stuck. And I know you probably know that, but that seems to have stuck. And that might be COVID related, and it might be just that that's what the consumers want too. It seems the market seems to be working. And that's not everywhere, but it seems to be, for the most part, that's how it's working. All these tasting rooms are definitely opened and operating at the least close to full capacity. So they're doing well. Of course, there was an uptick in wine sales during COVID, which we all has been documented and we all know. And so I think we've seen a little bit of decline in the amount of wine sales that are out there, you know, post-COVID. But all is good in California wine. We continue to certainly perform around the world. Like we discussed earlier, we're encouraged by growth in Southeast Asia and Mexico and the EU. And we're encouraged with growth here here domestically as well. Just a lot of great things going on in the industry. And we were excited to get through COVID successfully. And we're happy to be moving on.
Yeah. Oh, everywhere in the country, I think, is happy with it. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but we seem to have a little peak of COVID coming back now. Is there any rumors of tighter protocol because of that?
I will say that the original COVID protocols, when things started breaking, the wine industry was one of the quickest to get out there and start asking questions and needing to know the protocols so they could put them in place. I suspect that will be the same way if we come to a peak that gets to be challenging. And yeah, everyone's reading about this peak that might or might not come. And if it does, California wine will be ready to meet the challenge just like it did the first time.
That's great to hear. That is absolutely great to hear. Lost my thought, which is not hard for me to do when I start talking about stuff like this. You know, you and I go, oh, I forgot what I was going to say. Mike, do you have any questions or anything for Gino?
I'm checking the different chat areas. I don't have anything myself, and it's just enjoying it and taking notes as always.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
You want to end with one trivia question?
Okay.
Wait.
Which, let's see here. Name the one wine producing country that has never been affected by phylloxera.
Chile.
You got it. Wow. Well done, Ron. I'm impressed. How about one more before we leave? So in California, 14.8 million tourists visit our wine region each year, which places California wine as the second most visited tourist attraction. What do you think the first one is, and it's just one place?
Disney World.
You got it, Disneyland. It's 16.9 million. Ron, I was all excited to stump you, and it's not happening.
Well, I live in Florida, so I know Disneyland Disney World would take it.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's – all right. Before you leave, I want you to give us all sorts of information. The Facebook page, the Twitter, or I guess they call it X now, YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, everything – that people can get a hold of the California Wine Institute in any way that they want, and, you know, any phone numbers and any of that, so that they can be sure to connect with you to find out what's going on and what's happening and all that good stuff.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. And I'll close with, you know, California wine is an economic force across our nation, proving once again that it is the ultimate value-added, sustainable agricultural product, and it tastes great. Anyone can go find information at discovercaliforniawines.com. They can get all our social media handles for Instagram, Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter, on at that website. I will say that is our consumer-facing website. If someone is looking, we are, of course, as you probably know, Wine Institute is a an advocacy association representing 1,000 California wineries at the local, state, and domestic and international level. That website is wineinstitute.org, where they can find all sorts of information about all the challenges that are going on in the state legislatures, in Congress, and internationally. And there are many challenges that we work to deal with and keep California wineries competitive. So that's a key website as well. But once again, discovercaliforniawines.com for everything California Wine Month, events, et cetera. They can also find our social media handles, wineinstitute.org for all the issues that are facing California wineries, and California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance.com is for all the sustainability logos and information and certifications.
And oh, I know sometimes when I mentioned earlier now too, you mentioned California, the California wines, there, you would be hard pressed to find wineries that don't use some California wines. That California wines just ship everywhere in this country. And every state, I think, gets California wines delivered to it as a supplement or as an additive to their wines or something. But it's amazing the amount of California wines that is actually in the wines in this country. It's, if you ask the people at the counter and that they're honest with you, they will admit that there's some California wine in their wine. It just, there's just so much California wine spread around this country that it is phenomenal.
No. That's right, and it's a testament to the wine-growing region. I mean, it's basically our region has been 100 million years in the making with the valley and the gaps in the mountains that bring in the cool ocean air for really quality ripening mornings. It's just a testament to our wine-growing ability here in California, so I thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Everybody, you know, you mentioned the countries that California wine goes to, you know, you can start listing the states and you can probably end up with 50 or 49, since it's already in California, you can probably end up with 49 states where California wine is also shipped. It's just amazing. I found out about that a few years ago when I was in California, and it was an eye-opener, if you will. So, good. Carlo, thank you for joining
us. Thank
you
so much. Thank you.
Gino, I called you Carlo. Your last name is DeCarlo, and that's what confused me. I'm sorry, Gino. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Very informative and interesting. And everybody out there, if you need to get a hold of them again, Discover California Wines, and you will get all the information there and everything else and more. So check that out. And it's updated. How often you keep on top of that site?
Oh yeah, we got, I would say it's updated almost every 3 or 4 days probably. And if any of your listeners need to contact me for anything at all, I'm at gdecaro@wineinstitute.org. Well, one more time, gdecaro, D-I-C-A-R-O, at wineinstitute.org.
Okay, .org. All right. Very good. Thank you for taking the time, well, this afternoon for you, tonight for us. We will definitely go checking out the sites and what's coming up and all that on California. And interesting. Thanks for your time.
Excellent.
And, it was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron, and enjoy that Seven Deadly Sins Zen, and good luck with Wife Appreciation Day. Appreciate everything. Yeah,
you too.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. You too now. Thanks a lot. Bye now. Okay.
There's an excuse if you forget, so you have been warned. All right.
Okay. Oh, here's something else. I knew I was going to talk about something else before the show, but you know, we've got a few minutes here. This is what I was going to bring. Is this the one here? No. Is this the one here? No. Is this it? No. Jeez. I've got so many, so many tabs open. Oh my gosh.
You have to leave it.
Yeah. I mean, Oh, here it is. Okay. This popped up a couple of weeks ago, and I was going, well, about 3 weeks, three and a half weeks ago, and we've had guests, and I haven't had a chance to mention this, but this was in World News online, and it the headline is, "As World Warms, Sweden Sees Opportunity to Grow Its Young Wine Industry." And it's a pretty long article. I'm not going to go through the whole thing with you. But basically, they're saying that Sweden is going to be really going to be the new area for worldwide wines. They are tiny compared to the France, Italy, Spain, even Portugal, Germany, and all those. But it's becoming easier and easier to grow better grapes in Sweden. The weather in the wine growing regions, you got hail, droughts, heavy rains, flooding. I don't think a week goes by where I don't hear about something else hitting a wine region where they've had adverse weather of some sort. Of course, I get I'm signed up to these different things that I hear about it, but still, though, there's a lot of them. Well, Sweden winemaking is shifting from small scale to a much larger industry. They have all sorts of vines being planted there. There's one winery, 34 acres, which the vines were planted, they say, about a decade ago. And they're up to 30,000 bottles now. White wines, mostly. Let's see. The grapevines there can tolerate the heat and the drought, and they're farming without irrigation because it's a fear of droughts and stuff, and so the plants are getting acclimated to that. And because the year, this past year, has been the planet's hottest year on record, it's really starting to move the cooler areas a little bit further north, and Sweden is falling into that category. So commercial vineyards are also popping up in Norway and Denmark. If you know those countries out there, they're right next to each other, just three little countries next to each other. And they are cooler zones, and they can make for better growing conditions because of that. United Kingdom, not far behind them, United Kingdom is growing, doing a lot of wines. Their vineyards have popped up a little bit over the past few years. And so it's becoming a possibility that Sweden, we may be seeing Swedish wines in different areas. My daughter has a very good friend that lives in Sweden, and she comes to here in Florida every once in a while. I'm going to have her bring me some Swedish wines so we can see what they're like. They said the Swedish growing season has increased by about 20 days over the last 30 years, and as has the temperature increased by 2 degrees Celsius. So these are things that will help Sweden become a little bit more of a wine region that people might mention. They said the grapes are planting are disease resistant, and most of the grapes planted are called a Solaris, S-O-L-A-R-I-S. which was developed in Germany in 1975, but it's perfect for the Swedish climate. And so it's something to look for on the shelves in a few years to come is some Swedish wines. They said it's putting the global warming is putting Sweden in a great position and making its wines something that people can really look forward to and enjoy. So that's I want to talk about that. Like I say, this has been sitting here for a couple or 3-4 weeks, so I can share it with you, but I'm glad I'm able to do it now.
Yeah. Okay. What you
Gino,
got?
Good guest. I enjoy Jim.
Yeah. Yep. And we'll look forward to also maybe having Honore. It's spelled H-O-N-O-R-E. I thought it was Honore, but Honore.
Oh, is there an E on
Comfort.
It?
Oh. Yeah, yeah, it's on their staff site. She's international marketing vice president. It has an E on the end, so I thought, no, are you pronouncing the E or not pronouncing? Oh well, I'm sure he knows.
He didn't. So he just says honor. So yeah.
So we'll go. Yeah, I'm sure he's well aware. It is September 14th, and
Wife Appreciation Day, Sunday, September 17th. Mike live on. Flight Line Radio, Saturday, September 16th from 7 to 9. And,
thank you. Yeah, we added, I added software over the week before that the tunes used to, you know, cut off. It almost sounded like a Spotify or something where they're just, you know, one track, silence, another track, silence. Well, now they're mixed and has a better format. So I'm staying with that and, so it sounds pretty good right now, and you know it's evolving, and hopefully we'll get some more shows lined up and on the air as well, and we'll go from there. But love carrying this as well on Saturdays. Give you another opportunity to tune into the show in case you miss it. So do that on Saturdays at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Eastern Time, and you can tune into encore presentation of the previous. All About Wine. So do that and don't miss the show. So for sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next week we have Jim Butler. As I found out, hold on a second, I'm losing my voice.
Butler Winery.
Yeah, Butler Winery. And they are in Indiana.
Indiana, I believe.
Yeah.
Around Bloomington, somewhere around that area, I think. So.
Yep. Yeah,
so it'd be interesting what he's growing. Since we just talked about American Native American grapes, it'd be interesting to see what he's growing there. Well.
Yep, for sure. All right, before I lose my voice, I'll say good night. Thank you. Be safe. Have a good week. And I don't know if it's because of the cold or what happened, but been losing it the past couple of days.
Probably. You're not getting the recent. Relapse, then you're good. Well, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all next week. Yeah. Be safe.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Is Facebook caught up with us?
Oh, I forgot to check the time, but it was 6 minutes behind last time I looked. Totally forgot to look it up. It's off now. But as soon as it turned it off, I was like, "Oh, well, about that."
Oh well.
Part of, yeah. Well, they'll get it eventually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, green room.
Green room.